First Take SA, 5 to 6 a.m.
A professor in the Department of Safety and Security Management at the Tshwane University of Technology says the issue of members of the police who turn the gun on their families is often cultivated by a culture of secrecy within the police service. This comes as the town of Tayondo in Limpopo reel after a 42-year-old police sergeant allegedly shot dead his wife before turning the gun on himself. Months before that, a 45-year-old Bela Bela municipality traffic officer allegedly shot and killed his girlfriend before also turning the gun on himself. The ongoing case of a female former police officer who was charged with the murder and attempted murder of close family members has also brought this issue into sharp focus. To help us look at what some of the underlying factors are that may lead to some or such behavior, Professor Kolofelo Motibi joins us on the line. A very good morning to you, Professor, and welcome.
Morning, Presley.
Professor, do we have reliable data on what the prevalence of suicide is where police officers are the perpetrators?
I would say the only study, the first study of its kind, was conducted by Independent Complaint Directorate approximately 5-6 years ago. We don't have the current data that thoroughly explains the causes. However, the study that was previously conducted explicitly explained factors or causes from the police perspective with regard to this challenge, where in that study, the non-existence of appropriate intervention from the SAPS to deal with the problem was highlighted. Despite existence of SAPS employee assistance program, which again was found to be inappropriate or not reaching its target. Hence, I mentioned issue of secrecy. And members still don't want to share their frustration with the within this program, because you don't want to be subjected to station gossip, for example.
But secrecy, is that perhaps the main reason, or are there other contributing factors?
There are multiple contributing factors to that. One is availability and misuse of weapons, which plays an alarming role. Remember, the space in which they function in is volatile, and they are exposed to danger, they are frustrated. And again, policing, as much as it's frustrating, you have to take second life-threatening decisions within seconds. When you function in that space, you have to find yourself available for or subject yourself to counseling. There's a culture of disregarding the importance of counseling. If you observed killing, if you observed blood, if you observed extreme violence, it is important that you take care of your mental health. They end up taking their frustrations and pain home. Then, with existing family problems, that now becomes a volatile space, because now your husband comes home after observing so much violence, and he is a human being. They are about to explode. They have their own issues. At the same time, they bring so much baggage. Again, on top of that, they do have station-based challenges.
So,
they don't talk about.
From your research, Professor, do members of the police service receive sufficient assistance when it comes to dealing with mental health?
They will say it is available. Like I said, the only challenge, remember, they are not forced to receive this assistance. It's available. Mm-hmm. They do have social workers. They do have their medical aid center provide. You can go visit a psychologist. They don't see themselves as worthy of that. They see them that we are strong, we are fine, we can do it. Mm.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you so much, Professor Kolofelo Motibi from the Department of Safety and Security Management at the Tshwane University of Technology.